this kind of situation, because you're dealing with human beings. Human beings are not like your the other assets in your business. They are not like the cash in your bank. They are not like software. They are not like buildings. They are not like your machines and equipment. Human beings have a mind of their own. They have emotions. They have sentiments. They are unpredictable. So if you do not handle these kinds of situations the right way, they can wreck your business. Don't forget, some of these employees have access to your customers. They can badmouth your business and you lose customers. They can badmouth you to your distributors and your distributors stop doing business with you. They can badmouth you to your suppliers and they stop doing business with you. They can sour your brand and image in the marketplace. So this is not something you play with, right? You have to know what you're doing. And that is why I'm happy I had this conversation with that member of the Insiders. And this was an opportunity to coach and to guide her.
Every big thing starts small. It's a natural law. Every big multinational corporation was once a small business. Welcome to the Small Starter Business Podcast, a unique podcast for practical tips and advice to help you start, grow, or turn around your business.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. I am your host, as usual, John Paul Iwoha. Today's episode is quite intriguing and quite controversial. And we're going to be talking about what to do when your employees gang up against you, right? So in the early days of your business, this is not a situation that many entrepreneurs foresee. But as your business grows and you depend on more people to help grow your business, these people are typically called employees. You pay them wages or salaries. They contribute labor. They contribute their talent to your organization. After some time, this is a problem you are likely going to encounter in your career as an entrepreneur. So when employees come together, either by employee action or they're trying to unionize, against you, or there's some form of employee collusion, it's always going to be a possibility as your company grows. And what is this about, right? Now, human beings are quite unique when you compare us with machines or software or buildings or any of the other assets you need to build a successful company. Human beings have a mind of their own. Human beings can be unpredictable. Human beings can push, can more or less hustle for power. So that's exactly what it is when employees gang up against you. It's a power struggle. We see it in politics. We see it in families. We see it in friendships. So why won't it happen in the workplace, right? So power struggles will become common as you depend on more employees to help grow your business. And what is this power struggle for? Power struggle is usually maybe about pay. The people who work for you want you to increase the pay. They want you to increase their wages, either their hourly rates, or they want you to increase their salaries, or they're asking for more privileges or bonuses, or they're asking for more rights, right? Or they're asking for more flexibility in the way they work. Essentially, what this means is that your employees come together, they bond together, and they are trying to extract concessions from you. It could be financial or non-financial concessions, right? And it's not uncommon. Even some of the biggest names in business have faced this kind of situations. As we speak, as at the day of recording this episode, Amazon, which is arguably one of the world's biggest and most successful companies, is in the middle of some sort of employee action. Employees are trying to unionize. Amazon's employees are trying to unionize. They are talking about things like the conditions of work, things like health and safety, things like the pay, the hourly rates that they are paid and stuff like that. So Amazon is in the middle of its own version of this employee collusion. Amazon employs hundreds of thousands of employees, in the US and outside of the US. Another major company that comes to mind when this whole topic of employees ganging up against you is Ford. Ford, the American motor company, right? The vehicle manufacturer. So in the 1930s, there was this whole new law in the US about labor rights, right? But Amazon was one of the last companies that refused to bend to the pressure of employee unions. Amazon used all sorts of tactics, both underhand and above-hand tactics, Amazon refused to bend to employee pressure until 1941, right? So these are examples of, and you can see it from the angle of the entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs believe that the business is theirs. They conceptualize the idea. They sacrifice their capital. They work harder than anybody else. So why would employees come and start asking for, you know, something more than what was agreed, right? Even oil companies, I think that was the very first time I got my first experience in how labor unions work. They threaten you with a strike, that they are going to down tools, they are going to disrupt your business. And it's not good for business, because when this thing gets into the press, somehow it influences your customers. People want to believe that you are a fair employer, that you pay people fair wages, that you treat them responsibly, that you treat them humanly, right? So if you don't handle these kinds of situations, they can blow up in your face and they can lead to negative consequences for your company. So if you are in a situation where you are sensing that your employees are behaving strangely, and it looks like all of them are colluding and they are ganging up against you, and you're sensing that, you know, they are threatening you with a strike, they are reducing their commitment to work, they are deliberately reducing their productivity, they are speaking rudely to staff, you're seeing a high rate of absenteeism, you're getting a lot of excuses. I can't come to work today, sir. I am sick. My wife is sick. My mother is sick. I need to go bury somebody. I need to travel. All sorts of excuses, which are signs of low morale in your employee, among your employees, right? You need to preempt what is coming, because if you allow that thing to evolve, you know, into its full form, it's really going to affect your business. So what this episode is about is to help you understand where this problem comes from, how you can identify it, and what you can do about it. Because the best time to prepare for a solution to a problem like this is before it happens, right? If you're caught by surprise, you are likely going to act in irrational or emotional ways that may not be to your best interest, right? So when we talk about employees ganging up against your company, or employees ganging up against you, the owner of the company, what causes it? Where does this come from, right? I talked about the more or less the root cause. When you deal with human beings, you can expect unpredictability. Unlike machines, equipment, computers, buildings, even cash, you can control those. But human beings are the most difficult assets to control, because they have a mind of their own, right? They have a mind of their own. That's why they're difficult to control. So when it comes to successfully running a company, especially a company that depends on human beings and human talent, you need to grow that skill. You need to grow that skill of understanding how human beings behave in organized environments, which is what your workplace is, right? Your workplace is an organized environment. So today's episode is going to help open your eyes so that you can start to see the signs and the symptoms before it blows into a full-time crisis in your organization. So like I was asking, what causes employee action? One possible cause is a weak culture. Now, the culture, every company has a culture, and sometimes you unconsciously build a culture, and sometimes a culture is deliberately built. Unfortunately, in my experience, for many businesses, they have a culture, but it's not been built deliberately. It just happened over time. They hired the first person and then the second person, and now they have 25 employees. And they never really thought about things like, what are our values? What are our core values? What kind of person works here? What kind of person succeeds here? What do we place importance on? What kind of behaviors are we going to reward? What kind of behaviors will be punished? What kind of behaviors will be accommodated here? And what kind of behaviors are we just going to ask the person to leave? When you don't define those ground rules, what you have is a culture that is based on the personalities of the people you hire. So some people are going to be domineering. Some people are going to be much more vocal. Some people might, you know, have this kind of lawlessness angle to them. And the thing about human beings is that we are social creatures, right? We're social people. And we tend to rub off on ourselves. The moment you put two or three or more people in a room, you come back, all of a sudden, you're starting to see that one person is more or less the leader. Somehow, these people just rise. They command the attention of the other people in the group. Their opinions are much more influencing than other people in the group. That's just how human beings are. But when you don't define your culture, what you then do is that you hand over the behaviors in your company to random individuals, you know, and then when it comes time to punish or time to reward behavior, because there are no rules, people are going to think that you're playing favorites because there are no ground rules. Why are you promoting this person and you're not promoting this other person? If there are no rules, I'm going to think it's because you like that person. And then the reason you're not promoting the other person is because you don't like that person. Everything looks arbitrary because you have not defined what the ground rules are. And the culture of every organization is built on the ground rules of value. So you reward people on the basis of the values that are important to your organization. What is important to your organization? Is it integrity? Is it performance? Is it innovation? Is it entrepreneurship? Is it leadership? Is it excellence? Is it agility? You have to decide what you're going to value in your organization. And from the moment you employ people, they have to know. They have to know what is valued in the company. So that when you start to reward people, other employees are not thinking that you're playing favorites because they know what the rules are. They know that this person is being promoted because they have shown exemplary performance based on the values of the company. And then when somebody is asked to leave the company, when somebody is fired, it will be clear that that person broke certain rules or was not compatible with some of the values of the company. So that's it. So when there is a weak culture, what happens is the loyalty to your company is weak. There's no root for loyalty to grow in your company. And then when that starts, it now leads us to the second course, which is possibly information asymmetry. So what information asymmetry means is that people at the top, most especially you, the owner of the company, you, the CEO of the company, you tend to have information that most other people in the company don't have. So what happens when there's information asymmetry, where there's so much information on one side at the top, and then people at the bottom are not getting information? What happens is that rumors start to spread. People start to come up with explanations because there's no official explanation for things that are happening in the company. So something happens in the company, there is no official explanation. What human beings do typically is that they start to connect the dots and they start to come up with all sorts of theories, conspiracies, rumors, and things like that. And before you know what is happening, rumors start to spread, especially when it concerns bad news. So people can come up with all sorts of things. They can conjure all sorts of possible solutions. And it starts to spread within your company as rumors. Now, if you look at what is happening on social media, that gives you an example of what human beings can do when they are together and when there is information asymmetry. That's why you see things like fake news. And it's shocking that a lot of people believe fake news. Even though to some people, it's patently false. But fake news is very powerful because a lot of people believe in it. So if you do not want your organization to become a rumor mill, then you have to find a way to make sure that information trickles from the top to the bottom. So that when something happens, there's an official position. And when there's an official position and people have information, it disempowers the people who spread rumors. Because rumors can only thrive in the absence of information, in the absence of factual official information. So usually when there's information asymmetry, people start to form rumors and rumors start to spread. And you know what rumors do? They start to build opinions in people's minds. People start to take sides. People start to look at you in a certain way. They start to look at your company in a certain way. And of course, their loyalty starts to dissipate. Their loyalty starts to weaken. Because when there are rumors and when there's information asymmetry, it undermines trust. It's difficult to trust somebody when you've heard negative things about the person. And that's what rumors do. Rumors help to spread falsehood. So they've heard negative things about you. And without your knowing, people, some of your employees are already having these bad and negative feelings towards you, right? And then that cascades into the very next cause, which is, there's this low sense of ownership in the business. And it's quite common when you notice this, you know that you are likely going to have a crisis on your hands in the not too distant future. So when I say a low sense of ownership, you get this feeling of us versus them. So some employees are feeling that they are in a different camp, and then the owner of the company has some favorites that are in a different camp. So when they talk about the company, they say things like, they said we were going to, they said. And you start to wonder, who is they? This is supposed to be a company. All of us are a team. There's no they. It is we. It's always he. It's always we. There's no I. There's no they. There's no us. It is we. So when you start to see employees talk about, that's what they said. You know, that's what they did. That's what they gave me. That's how much they paid me. Right? You start to realize that you're in the throes of a possible more or less crisis or revolution on your hands. So essentially, when people have a low sense of ownership in the business, they start to behave like robots. That's one sign. The second sign is they only work when you're there to watch them. When you're not there to watch them, they do absolutely nothing because they have no sense of ownership in the business. It's a you versus us, or it's a them versus us. It's an us versus them. Why should I work harder in this company when it belongs to them? It's not my company. It's their company. So I'm only going to work enough for them to pay me my salary. That's all I'm going to do. So if they are watching me, I will work. If they're not watching me, I won't do any work. So, and this is very common in some companies where the owner of the company is away. Maybe he's sick or she's sick, or she traveled for a very important business trip, right? And then things just grind to a halt. There is a poor sense of responsibility among the staff. They will only act if you tell them to act. And that's because they don't have any sense of ownership in the business. They don't see this thing as our thing. They don't see it as my thing. They see it as their thing. And I'm only going to do just enough so that they don't fire me, and just enough so that they pay me my salary, right? So that's another possible cause or that could lead to your employees ganging up against you. Another possible cause is when you have no defined structure, like I mentioned before. Like I mentioned earlier about the weak culture thing, right? If you do not have clear rules, what you're going to do is you're going to inadvertently introduce confusion and arbitrariness in your company. Because, for example, you don't have any rules for how much people should be paid. You don't have any rules for promotion. You don't have any rules for performance appraisal. So how will people know if they've been doing a good job or a bad job? There's no formal structure for performance appraisal. There's no formal structure for when people should go on leave, how many days leave they get, you know, things like that. There's no formal structure. So what happens is that for anybody to go on leave, it depends on you, the boss. So if you do that many times, people start to think that you're playing favorites. Because in their mind, they're like, you allowed Fred to go on leave, but then you asked Susan to stay back. And the reason you did that is because you like Fred, but you don't like Susan. So even though your intentions may have been very legit, even though you were being very fair, because there was no structure that underlined that decision you made to allow Fred go on leave and Susan to stay put, people are going to think you're playing favorites. And what that is going to do, it will lead to an us versus them situation. And what that is going to do is that people are going to have a low sense of ownership. After all, they're going to say, they don't care about me, so why should I care about them? And the reason they think you don't care about them is that there are no rules. But if there were rules, it would be clear to say, you know, Susan, you cannot go on leave because of this. You know, this is our rule, right? And then Fred can go on leave because of this. So everything is based on rules. It's not based on whether you like somebody or you don't like, whether you like one employee or you don't like another employee. It's not based on your mood. It's not based on, you know, like I said, who you like or who you don't like. It's based on the rules. So things as simple as a staff handbook, it doesn't have to be very elaborate. You just have to just make it clear what the rules are. It could even be in an email, right? You write, okay, around remuneration, this is how it works. Around leave, this is how it works. Around sick leave, this is how it works. Around promotion, this is how we consider people to be promoted. Around performance appraisal, this is how we're going to appraise your performance. So that people start to see that, you know, there is that when there is structure, people respect the structure. But when there is no structure, people start to behave based on emotions, based on feelings. They're based on sentiments. They attach sentiments and color to anything that happens. So just before I go into the possible solutions, I mentioned that potential causes, potential reasons why your employees may gang up against you is, one, when there is a weak culture. Usually, wherever there is a weak culture, the loyalty is very weak. Employees have a very weak loyalty to the company. The second is information asymmetry. If people are not getting enough information, if people are not getting the official information, you are going to be creating room for rumors to spread. And when rumors spread, they start to foul the minds of some of your employees. Those rumors can turn some of your employees against you, even though they are not true, right? But because you have created a situation where people don't have access to the right information, then rumors are going to spread. The third thing I said is a low sense of ownership and responsibility. When people feel that they don't belong in the organization, either because they're not getting enough information or they have a low sense of loyalty to the company, what you're going to see is an us versus them scenario where they are being totally selfish. If you're not around, nothing gets done. They start to behave like robots. They start to work based on how it suits them and not how it suits the company. And then the last thing I said is undefined structure. When the structure is not clear, you are going to allow arbitrariness to flow. You are going to allow people to allege that you are playing favorites, that you are making decisions based on sentiments. But when the rules are very clear, then it makes it easy for everybody because nothing is random. People would understand that there are rules and they're going to stick to the rules. But wherever there are no rules, human beings can become very, very funny. Human beings can become very unpredictable in the absence of rules. So now let's look at the possible solutions. If you are in a situation where your employees are ganging up against you or have already ganged up against you, what can you do? Right? What can you do? So for the rest of this episode, that's exactly what I want to talk about. So I have a couple of possible solutions, like five of them, but let me start with the first one. The first place you need to start with is to start with yourself. And you know, this whole thing about entrepreneurship, I'm very big on personal responsibility. It's a core principle of entrepreneurship. You have to take personal responsibility. Entrepreneurs don't have the luxury of blaming other people. Compared to when you're an employee, you can blame your fellow employees, you can blame your peers, you can blame your manager, you can blame the company CEO, you can blame the board. You have somebody to blame when you're an employee, right? But as an entrepreneur, it's a case of personal responsibility. The first person you need to blame if things are not going right is yourself. That's what I love the most about entrepreneurship. Leadership starts from within. If there is a problem, if you're not getting the results you want, you're not making as much, your business is not making as much money as you expect, you're not progressing as much as you want, don't look anywhere else. You need to start from yourself. So if you're in a situation where your employees are ganging up against you, have already ganged up against you, the first place to start with is to look at your leadership and communication style. That's the first place to look at. So in terms of leadership, now there are different types of leadership. Some will tell you there are four types, there are five types, but I want to look at the extreme ends. So at one extreme end, you see the autocratic style of leadership. Autocratic style or dictatorial style. Essentially, what this means is whatever the boss says is done. Nobody questions the boss. Employees don't really have the chance to ask questions. They don't have the chance to share their opinions. You run it like a military camp. You know, the boss says something, that is a decree, everybody acts. That is one extreme of leadership. Autocratic. You don't really care about other people's opinions. You give the order and then you expect that all your employees are going to fall in line and follow your order or your orders, right? On the other side of the spectrum, you have participative leadership, right? So participative leadership is more or less like the polar opposite of autocratic leadership. In participative leadership, there is a problem or there is a decision to be made and you are asking for inputs from your employees. Sometimes it could be from your managers, it could even be from anybody in the organization. I've been in organizations where you have a general staff meeting, the owner of the company is there, and every single person in the company that works for the company is there, down to the cleaner and the security guy at the gate. And then it's thrown open to say, okay, we're faced with this challenge. And I want inputs from all of you. I want you guys to chime in. So I want you guys to chime in and share your opinions, right? And stuff like that. So when things like this happen, when you have a participative style of leadership, right? What that does is it allows people in your organization to have that sense of ownership, because they are contributing to the growth of the company. They are contributing to the progress of the company. They feel that their opinions matter. They feel that, you know, you care about what they think about the company. So naturally, I would expect that it's unlikely that employees will gang up against you when there is a leader who accommodates diversity of opinion. Essentially, when your leadership style is participative, you want everybody to chime in and contribute. So your leadership style is one place you should look at. Another thing you also should look at is your sense of fairness and transparency, right? If you reflect on the actions you have taken so far, if you reflect on the decisions you have made for your business, do you think you have been fair in the way you pay your employees, in their conditions of work, you know, their work hours, you know, how do you treat them humanely? Have you been a fair employer? Another angle too is transparency. Have you been a transparent employer? Have you been hiding information from your people? Have you been telling them what they want to hear and not what it really is? Have you been honest and candid in your communication? So that's very important. Have you been a fair leader? Have you been transparent? And essentially, if your employees are ganging up against you or they've already ganged up against you, you need to embrace direct information, because remember, one of the causes of that situation is that when there is information asymmetry and rumors are abound within your employees and all that, you know, they've lost a sense of trust. They don't trust what's happening anymore. So you need to open up the conversation. I would expect that if you're already at that point where your employees are ganging up against you, then it's time for you to call a general house meeting. If you've never had it before, everybody who works for you should be in there. And that should be your opportunity to open up and be transparent and let them know and hear from them firsthand, rather than hearing indirectly through rumors and all that. So, you know, that's one important part of it. So one solution is to start with yourself. You need to reflect, has your leadership style contributed to the problem? Or is it your communication style that has led to this problem? Remember, if you're running a business, if you've chosen the lifestyle of entrepreneurship and you are very honest about trying to solve a problem, the very first place to start is from yourself. Now that we're done with you, the second possible solution is to identify the ringleader of that whole dissent. Now, remember what I said earlier, if you observe a crowd or a mob or people who are doing protests, right? There are some people who are the ringleaders. Those people have the ears of the entire crowd. When they speak, people listen. They may not have any senior position. They may not be a manager in your company. In fact, in some cases, it's very strange. You might find out that the ringleader is one of the lowest people in your company, the cleaner, somebody low, right? But they have this sense of influence. They are able to influence other people who listen to them. So it's important that you identify who the ringleader is. And you can find out by just listening to the grapevine, picking out some people and asking them, you know, what is happening? Who do I need to talk to if I really want to resolve this issue? It doesn't take time. By the time you ask a couple of people, you will find out who the ringleader is. And from my experience, sometimes you're going to be surprised when you find out who that ringleader is, because it might end up being the most unlikely person you ever expect. So usually this ringleader is the instigator. Usually this ringleader is a disaffected employee. They feel badly about something that is happening in the company. And that venom that they have, they've been able to spread it to other people in the company, right? So the first thing I would do is identify the ringleader and then try to have a sit down, try to understand their grievance. You know, what exactly is the problem? Where have we gone wrong? Where is this anger coming from? Where is all this disaffection coming from? Try to understand their grievance, right? Now, there are two possible options. It's likely you sit down with this person or these people. It could be one or two or three different ringleaders. You sit down with them and you're able to make sense to them and everything is solved. They can go back and talk to all the others and then whatever problems you're having will just disappear, right? That's one possible outcome. The second possible outcome is that these people are not ready to reach a compromise. They have become extremists, right? And they don't feel that the situation can be resolved through any meaningful conversation. So if they cannot reach a compromise, you need to start to prepare for an exit, right? These people are like bad apples. And if you allow them remain within your basket of good apples, they are going to sour all the good apples. They are going to turn all your good employees. So it doesn't help you to keep this kind of person within your employ, right? You need to do something about them if you cannot reach a compromise. Okay, so the third thing you can do is to select and elevate an influential dissenter. So this is more or less the divide and rule principle, but this one from a strategic sense. So if your employees are united in their pain, in their disaffection, in their anger against you or your company, right? What they feel is that you have not treated them well, you know, that sort of thing. That is why they are ganging up against you. One possible thing you can do is, of all the bad apples, of all the rotten apples, find somebody who can still be saved. Find somebody you still believe in who can be saved, who is not as extreme as the other people. Somebody who is reasonable, somebody who is willing to listen to a possible solution. Somebody who is a believer. I think that's the word I'm looking for. Somebody who is a believer. You get that believer and create an example out of that believer. If it's somebody who is exhibiting the attributes or behaving in ways that you want your employees to behave, you want them to emulate that kind of behavior, then that sort of person you should use as an example. You can promote this person. You can reward this person in other ways. You can set them as an example that other people can follow. And the good thing about this is once you break the ranks, what happens is that people have to choose a side. They have to choose a side between following the extremists, those people who are unwilling to reach a compromise, and then following this new example that you have set. So over time, what that does is that it separates the moderates from the extremists. The moderates are the ones who can still be saved. They are the ones who, if the situation is improved, they would be happy to keep working in your company. But the extremists, they want to blow up everything. It's like they have an axe to grind. It's like they have a bitterness against you, right? So you want to separate your moderates from your extremists and then deal with them. You reward the moderates and then you start to forge a path out of your company for the extremists. Because for some extremists, you cannot change them. Their minds have already been made up. They have all these kinds of, they are willing to, it's not as if they don't want to work, but for them, it's now a power struggle, right? And those are not people you really want to deal with. Now, let's go to the fourth possible solution, which is to create your core team of leaders, right? So I had a client who suffered this situation. He, over the course of a 2 to 3 week period, all of his employees resigned. They just left the business. Some of them did not even have the sense to formally resign. They just stopped coming to work. And they did it together. They agreed and they did it together. And this guy runs he runs a retail outlets, right? That depends a lot on human labor. And unfortunately, this was a hit to the business, right? So you can imagine how difficult this is, where the owner of the company has to start doing things like manning the cash register, attending to employees. He more or less lost the whole chain of his employees. Now, one way to guard against this is to create your core team of leaders. So it can't just be you and every other employee. You need to have a core team of lieutenants. Or, you know, you call them lieutenants if you're American or you speak American English, it's lieutenants, or if you're British, lieutenants. So these are your core people. They can be your supervisors, your department heads, your managers. But essentially, this is like a middle ground between you and every other employee. These are your insiders. They are your core people. And they are separate from your foot soldiers. And what the game is that you allow your core team, right? You give them the responsibility to handle the foot soldiers. But make sure you treat them well. Make sure you treat your lieutenants well. You make sure there is no information asymmetry. Make sure that they are core believers in the mission of your organization, in the mission of your company. Make sure they exhibit the core values you're looking for. Because is this your core team that will build the culture of the company? Make sure they are good examples for all the other employees. Make sure they are paid well, right? So if there is going to be a gang up, the gang up will happen at the low level. But your core team, your supervisors and your managers will not gang up against you because they are a member of your inner circle. So they will even be feeding you with information from down the line. They'll be feeding you with tips because they deal directly with the foot soldiers. You know, so even if your foot soldiers rebel and gang up against you and quit on you, you will still maintain your core team. So your core team is the one that is more or less that cannot be expended. But every other person can leave the company. If they want to leave the company, you can easily let go of them. But your core team remains with you. So that way, if something happens, your core team can help you recover. If people gang up against you and stuff like that, it's very important that you have a core team that bridges you from the entire employee base. Now, this doesn't mean that you should not interact with other employees. This doesn't mean you should not have general staff meetings. And this doesn't mean that you should surrender the full responsibility of running and managing your human talent to your supervisors, to your core team. No. All I'm saying is that you need people who can defend you from that bulwark. You need people through which you can feed off information. And it's better if this is not just one person. If you have a core team of, say, 3, 4, 5 different people, you know, you get them to compete against themselves. You let them know that there is a succession plan. You know, somebody has to run this company when I'm not around. And it's going to come from the 4 of you or from the 5 of you. So that competition will help to build the kind of leaders that you're looking for. You are going to mentor these people. You're going to train them. You're going to coach them. You're going to support them. They'll be closer to you than any other person in the company. And that's because they're your core team, right? So that is one way you can survive gang ups from your employees or even coups from your employees. So that's the fourth point. The fifth point, the fifth solution, possible solution, when your employees have ganged up against you, which I've seen happen a couple of times, is to sack everybody. Just sometimes it's gotten so bad that you cannot redeem the culture. You cannot even redeem any one employee. You know, if you retain one of them from that cohort, right, and you start to employ new employees, that one person can transfer the organizational memory, you know, from that bad experience to the new people. It's that person who will be saying, you know, forget all these things that the boss is saying. Did you know that the boss did this? Did you? So sometimes you just want to forget about everybody that was part of that team. You sack everybody, you fire everybody, and then start from scratch. You start again, you rebuild your culture. So like I said, there's a reason why this is the final option. This is the option you should take when you've tried all the other options I talked about and nothing is working, or you feel you're at a point where the culture of your company cannot be redeemed. So if the culture of your company has been sabotaged to a point where the best option or what makes sense is to start again from scratch, then that might be something you have to do. It's also a hard reset. It's like you're formatting your hard drive, your phone, or your computer, right? It's been infected by a virus. So sometimes all you just do is you do a hard reset. You format the entire thing, wipe off all the organizational memory, wipe off everything that happened around that period. And maybe just you and some of your lieutenants, some of your lieutenants will be the only remaining people. Every other person goes. And then you start to rebuild the culture of your company intentionally. Of course, you're learning from the mistakes of what happened before, the things you didn't do, the things you did that went wrong. And then you correct it with this new set, making sure that they have the right structure, making sure that there are clear rules, there are clear ground rules, making sure that they understand the kind of person you're looking for in terms of exhibiting the core values of the organization, right? So sometimes it can be an opportunity for you to deliberately build a solid culture for your company in a way that is better than what you did before, but because maybe before, you were not deliberate about it. You just allowed things to grow anyhow. And then you had a gang up against you. So then you fired everybody and now you're starting again from scratch. So let's recap at this point. I started this episode by talking about employee action and letting you know that it's a natural thing that will happen as you grow your company. If you're the kind of business that depends on people to help grow your company, a time will come, you know, employees are going to want to act. They are going to want more. They're going to play for power. They might be asking for more pay. They might be asking for more rights and privileges. They might be asking for more flexibility. So there will be some sort of collusion against you. And I also mentioned that, it's not strange. It's not unique if it happens to you. It's happening to almost all some of the biggest brands in the world. As I record this episode, Amazon is in the middle of that same thing. Amazon's employees are trying to, you know, unionize against the company, right? So it's in the middle of it. There are also legendary fights that companies like Ford have had with their employees. The Ford Motor Company fought the unions very, very stiffly. You know, they used all kinds of means, you know. By the end of the day, they had to succumb to it. So even utility companies, oil companies, they have to deal with unions, right? And these are employees who think that they can get more, they can extract more out of you. They want better pay, they want better working conditions, and all these things are fair. Because if you're going to use human beings to grow your company, at the minimum, you need to make them feel some sense of ownership. And for them to feel that, they need to believe that you genuinely care for them, right? So, but if you've got to the point where your employees are ganging up against you, or they've already ganged up against you, I talked about a couple of potential causes. The first one I talked about is a weak culture. If the culture of an organization is weak, it's very likely that your employees have very low loyalty. They don't feel a strong sense of loyalty to the company. Another possible cause is information asymmetry. People in the organization are not getting enough official information. Something happens in the company, there is no official explanation, there is no official information. What happens in the absence of information is that rumors start to spread. Fake news, as we see it on social media, fake news and rumors thrive when there is no official and factual information about what happened or what people should think. So people are going to start to spin rumors. They're going to come up, they're going to start conjuring theories and conspiracies and things like that, right? And then another reason why employees can gang up against you is if they have a low sense of ownership in the company, if they see it as an us versus them, you know, whenever you see employees using that kind of description to say, that's what they said I should do, that's what they paid me, that's what they are doing, they start to speak about your business in the third person, as if they are not part of your company, then you know that the sense of ownership and the sense of responsibility is quite low. And what that tells me is that the moment you're not around, they're not going to work as hard. They're going to compromise the business. They will only work as long as you can supervise them or monitor them, right? And that is not really how you can grow a successful business. You need people who have a strong sense of ownership, who will work and go above and beyond, you know, because they understand the mission, they understand what you're trying to achieve. They're not always waiting for you to give them instructions and orders and things like that. Another potential cause is an undefined structure. When you don't have properly defined rules around things like how people get paid, how they get promoted, how their performance will be reviewed, when they go on leave, how long they can go on leave, can they go on paternity, maternity leave, all these soft issues, right? When these things are not there, you're giving room for emotion, sentiments. Whenever you make a decision, people are more likely to think that you're doing it out of favoritism. You actually like this person, but you don't like this other person. But when there are rules, you know, you dispel all of that because people then see that they can hold you accountable by the rules. But when there are no rules, people start to spring up all sorts of rumors. So I then moved on to the solutions, right? And I talked about five possible solutions. In a situation where your employees are ganging up against you, or they've already ganged up against you, one that I talked about, which is where entrepreneurship, the beauty of entrepreneurship lies. If you're trying to solve a problem, you have to start with you. That is really what it is. So you have to look at your leadership style and your communication style. You know, you have to reflect. Have you been a fair and transparent leader, right? And if that is the case, you have to open up information, have direct conversation, let your people hear from you, let your team hear from you, right? So that you can directly dispel any rumors or whatever it is people have had. The second option I talked about is to identify the ringleader. So sometimes when you have a gang up, there's usually somebody who is influencing that movement. There could be one person, two or three people. Those are the bad apples who more or less are causing the problem. So you have two options. You can identify those people and have a conversation with them and see if they are willing to listen and work towards a solution and reach a compromise. Or maybe they've already made up their mind and they are not interested in a compromise. Then in that case, you have to start working on a possible exit, because you cannot condone that kind of personality within your workplace. They are going to keep messing things up, right? So that's the second possible solution. The third possible solution is to select and elevate an influential dissenter. Among the people who are ganging up against you, if you see somebody who is redeemable, if you see somebody who is willing to reach a compromise, if you see somebody who believes in your business, somebody who is willing to work with you despite the challenges that you've had, use that person as an example. Use that person to set an example. Give the person a leadership position, give them responsibility. More or less, what you're trying to do, like I explained before, is you're trying to separate the moderates from the extremists. Whenever there is a gang up against you, they're usually moderates. There are people who are not as crazy. There are people who still believe in your business, despite the challenges that you have had. And if you talk to them sensibly, they are willing to work with you. But then they are the extremists. Those ones, you can't make any sense to them. You know, they have very outrageous or ridiculous demands. You cannot reach a compromise with those ones. So what you want to do is to select a moderate, use that person to set an example, so that you can create that division that allows you to separate your moderates from your extremists, and then you deal with them accordingly. And then the fourth solution I talked about was to create a core team of leaders. So it's easier for people to gang, it's easier for your employees to gang up against you when it's just you versus them. But if you have a core team of trusted lieutenants, trusted lieutenants, you know, these are the people who are going to be in your inner circle. They will have access to all the information that you have, or most of it. They will be part of your decision making. You will value their opinions. You will pay them better. You will reward them. You will respect them. You see them as your crack team, like your main team, right? What that does is that even if you're going to have employees gang up against you, it will not come from your core team. It will come from your foot soldiers. Your foot soldiers can gang up against you, and you can use your core team to resolve that problem. Your core team will be a solid source of information. They will tell you what is going on. They will come up with opinions. They will come up with advice. And these advice can be very valuable because they work directly with the foot soldiers. So they know the sense of things on the ground. They can feel the fashion. They can feel the anger. They know exactly what is happening. So they help you do that job without you getting directly involved, right? So that's one important opportunity, one important solution right there, creating your core team of leaders. And then the fifth option is, if you've tried all of these four options and nothing is working, right? I've seen situations where the owner of the company, the entrepreneur, the CEO, has no option but to sack everybody, fire everybody, because the culture has been so sabotaged and undermined that you cannot recover anything. You cannot even recover one single person. And like I said, the danger of keeping people behind is that they can transmit that bad memory, that bad organizational memory. So by letting everybody go, it gives you the opportunity to start from scratch. You deliberately build the structure, the culture of the company that you want, and things like that. But like I said, this should only be a final option when you've tried everything else and then nothing is working. So at this point in the episode, let's talk about our partners, Quezza. So Quezza is a platform that enables African entrepreneurs to access markets outside of their countries. Imagine that you are in the business of what? Selling honey or shea butter or something valuable that maybe within your country, it's abundant. So there's a lot of competition. You're not getting like solid pricing for it. But imagine if you could export that same product to America, to Canada, to the UK, to France. That's exactly what Quezza does. Quezza gives African businesses the opportunity to access foreign markets where their products will be much more valued, where their products will be able to command better pricing, where you can charge a premium pricing. And you have access to a market that more or less guarantees future demand for your products and your services. So on Quezza, we're already seeing people selling honey from Cameroon to customers in the US. We're seeing people shipping products from Ghana to South Africa. We're seeing people selling products from Kenya to Cote d'Ivoire. So you see what this fantastic opportunity means for us. Currently, Africa doesn't do enough business with itself. You know, we keep on exporting the common suspects, cocoa, cashew, oil and all of it. But what this does is it allows the average small and mid-sized business on the African continent access foreign markets that allows them to earn foreign exchange. Now, I want you to test this out for yourself. So if you have a product or service and you're interested in accessing foreign markets, go to the Play Store. If you're using a Google device, an Android device, go to the Play Store or the App Store if you're using an Apple device, an iOS device, and Google and search for Quezza Seller. Quezza is K-U-U-E-Z-A. K-U-U-E-Z-A, Quezza Seller. So if you're trying to sell things internationally, download the Quezza Seller app. If you're exploring opportunities to buy things from other African countries, or you're outside of Africa and you're trying to look for what is available, go to your app store, go to the Play Store, and search for Quezza User. It's a separate app for the sellers and the users. It's very important you keep this in mind. So download the Quezza User app. Remember, Quezza is K-U-U-E-Z-A. So at this point in the episode, there are four things I needed to consider. The first is to join the Insiders Program. Now, the topic of today's episode came as a result of a conversation I had with a member of the Insiders Program. This person is going through a situation where there is a possible gang up among her employees against the company. And she's asking, what does she do? And remember, in the beginning, I said, this kind of situation, because you're dealing with human beings are not like the other assets in your business. They are not like the cash in your bank. They are not like software. They are not like buildings. They are not like your machines and equipment. Human beings have a mind of their own. They have emotions. They have sentiments. They are unpredictable. So if you do not handle these kinds of situations the right way, they can wreck your business. Don't forget, some of these employees have access to your customers. They can badmouth your business and you lose customers. They can badmouth you to your distributors and your distributors stop doing business with you. They can badmouth you to your suppliers and they stop doing business with you. They can sour your brand and image in the marketplace. So this is not something you play with, right? You have to know what you're doing. And that is why I'm happy I had this conversation with that member of the Insiders. And this was an opportunity to coach and to guide her, you know, in terms of what to do, helping her identify who the core dissenters are, helping her prepare for that main meeting, for the general meeting, where she was able to sample opinions and stuff like that. If you do not handle these things rationally and strategically, you are likely going to make the same mistake because you're also a human being. You're likely going to attack it emotionally and it might end up, you know, causing trouble for you, all the way from legal troubles. You know, these people can sue you. They can sue you under whatever labor laws are in your country and stuff like that. So it's a delicate situation where you need somebody who can give you the right advice. You need somebody who can give you the right support. And that's exactly why I love to work with the Insiders. The Insiders is a community of entrepreneurs who are building businesses in more than 20 countries within and outside the African continent. We learn from each other. We're networking. We collaborate on ideas and business opportunities. And very importantly, we get coaching and support from people like me who have had this experience in several different industries and even other veterans within the Insiders community who have had these kinds of problems before, and they can share their own experience as to how they solved it when they had this same issue. So if you want to learn more about the Insiders and become part of this very unique and interesting community, check us out at smallstarter.com/insiders. Again, it is smallstarter.com/insiders. The second thing I want you to do is to tell your friends about this podcast. This is high-grade business entrepreneurial information, and it's been given to you for free. If you've been listening to the Small Starter Business Podcast and you've been getting value from it, we are not asking you to pay anything. Just tell your friends about this podcast. Tell them about the Small Starter Business Podcast. Once they go on Google and they search for the Small Starter Business Podcast, we're right there. We're on most platforms. Deezer, on Apple, the Apple Podcast, you know, store and all of that. So tell people about anybody you know who is trying to start a business, trying to grow a business, trying to turn around a business, who is having trouble with running their business, building their business, growing their business. There are over 60 episodes to listen to, right? listen to these episodes, enrich yourself, and become a better entrepreneur. And the reason we're doing this is, especially within our audience of Africa, we believe that most of the problems on the continent can be solved through entrepreneurship. Right now, unemployment is a major problem on the African continent, but governments do not create jobs. Everybody keeps saying the government doesn't want to create jobs. I don't know any economy in the world, from China to the US to the UK, where the government is the biggest creator of jobs. No. The biggest provider of jobs is the private sector. And who runs the private sector? It's entrepreneurs. It's people who have ideas. People who have the guts and the courage to work on the ideas. People who are building businesses. Those are the people who hire people. They hire people in sales, in customer care, in operations, in manufacturing, in supply, in logistics. That's how jobs are created. So the more enlightened entrepreneurs we have, the more educated entrepreneurs we have, the more skilled entrepreneurs we have, the more jobs we can create. The more jobs we can create, the more wealth we can create. The more wealth we can create, the more engaged people we have. So we can have less crime and things like that, right? So that's why we're doing this. We want entrepreneurs who are more capable. Because the more capable you are, the bigger the business you can build. And that's exactly what we're looking for. So don't keep all this good stuff to yourself. Tell your friends about it. It will be a gross injustice and it will be unfair that you've been listening to this podcast and you're not telling anybody about it. You see, so I'm talking to you today. If you've been listening to this podcast and you're not telling anybody about it, what you're doing is not fair. And it's actually wrong. Because I'm giving you this for free. And all I'm asking is that you tell other people about it for free, right? So I've done my part. And I believe you have been enriched by the things you hear on the podcast. All I ask is that you tell other people about it. In your WhatsApp groups, in your Facebook groups, on your status, talk about the Small Starter Business Podcast. You can be sure that somebody is going to thank you for helping them find the breadth and depth of information, of quality information that they're going to find there. So please, don't procrastinate. That's your biggest enemy. Don't do it later. Just pause the podcast right now and tell your friends about the Small Starter Business Podcast. Of course, the third thing I want you to consider is to leave us a 5-star review. That's the other way you can say thank you. So if you've been listening to the podcast, you find value in it, and you want to give us a thumbs up, a 5-star review will be very solid. So it depends on the app you're using. But if you go to smallstarter.com/review, you'll find the best place to leave us a review there. Now, a review is good as a pat on the back for me personally. But the more important thing that a 5-star review does, is that it tells the algorithm that we are a podcast that people should listen to if they're interested in entrepreneurship. So it helps us get ranked better on the podcast directories. So if you want to say thank you, head over to smallstarter.com/review, or if you're using the app on the iPhone or on Android, you can leave us a 5-star review, and I would really, really appreciate it. Thank you in advance. And again, I have to talk about the Insiders program. I don't know what the podcast would be without the influence of the insiders, because they are the ones who bring up the questions, they bring up the situations that we share, so that I can analyze it on this podcast and give you practical solutions you can apply. You can start applying your business today to get results. And these are real people. So if you're serious about changing something in your business, you're trying to grow your business, you're about to start a business, or you have a business that's going through trouble and you want to turn it around, consider joining the Insiders program. That's the only way you can work directly with me and all the other fabulous members who are building their businesses every day. So to check us out at the Insiders, check us out at smallstarter.com/insiders. So at this point in the episode, I'm going to just leave my parting shot, and that would be, you know, the great thing about entrepreneurship is that you're always solving problems. Now, the very first time, on the average, people don't like problems because problems are inconvenient, they are discomforting, they are stressful. Why would anybody want problems, right? But because entrepreneurs are constantly dealing with problems, something interesting happens. You become a better problem solver. So what that means is that there are problems that don't shake you anymore, because you become a better problem solver. And that's what entrepreneurship is about. It's about solving problems. Today, it's a problem in sales. Tomorrow, it's a problem in strategy. And another day, you're having a problem like the one we discussed in this episode. Your employees, they are ganging up against you. They are threatening a strike or something. So the better you are at solving problems, the better you're going to be as an entrepreneur, because it's like a muscle. It's like a muscle. You're building a muscle for solving problems. And the future belongs to people who can solve problems. All the wealth in the world belongs to people who are solving problems. Go and look at any successful person you know on the Forbes list. All of them are involved in solving problems in manufacturing, financial services, and all those areas. So don't be scared of problems. Don't ask why me or why is this happening to me. The question you should be asking is, how do I become better at solving problems? Because the more problems you can solve, the more complex problems you can solve, the better and more successful you're going to be. So I wish you all the very best. Take care of yourself. Cheers. I'm out of here.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. To take our free business courses or join one of our signature programs for special entrepreneurs like you, head over to smallstarter.com to join our private community. See you inside.